So tonight I'm actually going to talk about racism as a entry point, but I'm actually going to take it somewhere, and I think you might be wondering why I'm talking about it. Well, I want to share from my own life, as many of you, I'm actually classified as a white person because I'm from European background, but my dad's Portuguese, my mother's from English background, but growing up in apartheid South Africa, I, being a surfer as well, a lot of time in the sun, I got very dark, and I definitely experienced racism, even though, you know, in those days it was white parties, white beaches, white toilets, and it was very much in front of your face all the time, but I was not very white, you know, I was not like, I was a bit brain. So I really picked up a lot of pain through that time, because if you know about school, if you're slightly different in school, they're just going to love you and accept you. And it's incredible about school, that loving environment that school is, because, you know, at school, it's just incredible. Every child is uplifting every other child, and especially if they're different, they get extra favor and grace and love. But if, of course, we know that's not the case. If you're too tall, too short, too whatever, slightly different, they will let you know about it. So most of us actually, in my case, it was my skin, but for the rest of you guys, it might have been other stuff, you know, if you weren't good enough for cricket or whatever. In Australia, I spent a lot of time with a bunch of Kiwi guys, and the Kiwi guys are exactly the same. The white guys actually, you know, if you were too white, then you got discriminated against in the New Zealand schools, because there it was, well, the at least with the guys that I was connecting with, there were mostly more brown guys. So the white guys were picking up flack, and they were the guys hurt, you know, because they were different. So, but we can see in the world today that racism seems to be kind of up a notch now. It seems to be like, whoa, okay, it kind of tapered. And it's particularly as we see in American politics right now, and we see how racism is used in American politics, where you actually see it's like a battering ram. Whenever they want something to go through and there's any opposition to it, they may just say, play the racist card. So that's just racist. And then everyone suddenly shuts up out of fear. And suddenly we're not even contemplating whether this thing is racist or not. It's just the racism card has been played, and therefore it ends all debate. There's no more debate. So we actually see that it's an unhealthy thing, that as I'm sharing about in an open way, trying to advance the cause, that racism unfortunately is used for other reasons to actually shut down any healthy debate about the issue. We also understand that racism is not a new thing. That actually, and I'm going to take you back now to the time of Jesus, that we actually know that in the time of Jesus, race was actually a massive issue. And we understand that there was a classic example was the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans were hated by Jews. And they were like half Jews. They were, excuse the phrase, but they were like half breeds. They were half Jewish, and then either half from the people group of Samaria, or they were from people groups that were introduced by the Assyrians. The Assyrians actually took over the Northern Empire and introduced many more people groups. So they were a mix, and they must have looked different as well. And we know that the Jews actually hated the Samaritans for a number of reasons. But a key one was that because they were different, and that Jesus actually, instead of skirting the issue, Jesus goes straight to the issue. And we know in the story of the Good Samaritan that the hero was not the Jew in this case, but the hero was actually the Samaritan. We also know that Jesus engaged the Samaritan woman, and that he led many in the Samaritan village to himself. So we see Jesus interact across the races. And finally, we see with purpose that at the end of time, that all the races will be finally united, but also retaining their distinct identities. And I guess what I'm trying to say is this, is that race is not a bad thing. If you, white, brown, black, whatever, that's a good thing, that came from God. And God actually wants that uniqueness. So he doesn't want like He doesn't want us to ignore the issue. He wants us to celebrate the issue, but celebrate it in a healthy way. And we can see the healthiness of it in Revelation 7, 9 to 10, which hopefully by God's grace, every one of us will be part of this crowd. Yay. Imagine, you're going to be in this crowd. It's going to be a very, very noisy crowd. Yes. But you can actually see that despite the fact that it's this big, noisy crowd, God's also saying there's the white guys, there's the brown guys, there's, you know what I mean? Because we see, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language. So you can see the differentiation. It's like the flags are all there. Standing before the throne, before the Lamb. You've got to understand, where did the flags come from? Where did the languages come from? How did we get separated in the first place? And we know that Babel, thanks Russell, we know that God separated us in the first place. We were actually all extremely united at one stage, but united not under God. We united as this big rebellious people going, towards God. And God came down and separated us. He separated us into our tribes, language, people groups. And wherever our skin colors came from, I'm not sure. Was it climate? Was it genetic? I don't know. But it happened. And interesting that he separated us, but there will only be one time when we will truly be united again, and that's in that moment there in Revelation 7, 9, where we will all be back together. And I think the reason why God separated us is he wanted to deal with us individually. I think as one big mob, we were just, but if he separated us, he could slowly start to work amongst us and bring us under his lordship. You know, it was like a case of divide and conquer. But then we see God's purpose so that all can be brought under the lordship of Jesus. And I think this is my point this afternoon, is that only in Jesus can the race issue be truly resolved. We can try. Thank you, Claire. We can. You see, there's feedback from Masktown. So, but the thing is we try fix it in so many different ways, but we realize that only in Jesus can this issue be resolved. And I'll give you an example from my own life. Should I do it now? Should I do it later? Okay, I'm going to do it a little bit later. Let me just elevate Jesus first. So we know that Jesus came not only to bring a sword in Matthew 10:34, and we see the power. God's not coming to be Mickey Mouse. He's coming to bring power. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. But we also know, more importantly, that besides God coming to bring a sword, and what he means by that is the gospel sometimes divides us too. The gospel is something that is confrontational. The scriptures say that it can divide families. But more importantly, this afternoon, which is what I wanted to look at, is that it brings healing, that Jesus came to bring healing. And racism needs healing. But I want to use it to not only share from my own life, but to also share how this is what the nations need. They don't need a new racism debate. It actually doesn't matter. They need Jesus. I keep on coming back. Now I'm back on my testimony. I'm feeling like I want to share it again. I'm just holding it back here. Jeremiah 8:22 says, and you can hear the cry of God. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? And we know that racism and rejection of every people and whatever it is, racism is just one type of rejection, but we know that we reject people for all kinds of reasons. And many of us carry wounds for a variety of reasons. And John Newton, the slave trader and the famous writer of Amazing Grace, also wrote this hymn from 1779. And it says, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's power enough in heaven to cure a sin-sick soul. How lost was my condition till Jesus made me whole. There is but one physician can cure a sin-sick soul." And I'm sure John Newton saw much pain and saw pain inflicted as a slave trader. But he knew, even rewriting Amazing Grace, that there was grace for him, but that there was also healing for him. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus is the one who can give the nations rest. Jesus is the one who can give the racism issue rest. Jesus is the one who can give the inequality issue rest. Jesus is the one who can give the injustice issue rest. But it's got to start with the individual. And again, I'll share from my own life, my individual journey. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus himself prophesied in Luke 4, 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Freedom! True freedom. Freedom that money cannot buy. Freedom that debates cannot buy. Freedom that only he can buy and purchase with his blood. And recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Legislation will not do it. Government debate will not do it. Jesus will do it. And that is all we celebrate on this Easter time. His cross took it all up. And we see Jesus' cry over us. And I'm hoping that even as I share, that you will hear his cry over your soul. Because even some of us sitting here today, we need to come into new freedom and more freedom. And if anything's holding you back, whatever it is, Jesus wants to put your soul at rest, that you can be at peace, that he can set you free from whatever is oppressing you. And he looks at Jerusalem and he knows Jerusalem is struggling politically because Jerusalem is under the control of the Romans. And all they want to do is just get rid of the Romans. And all maybe we want to do is just get rid of COVID, and that's a good thing to pray for. But you know what? In the spite of whatever's coming against us, we actually need to come to Jesus. Not just try and make the problem go away. And Jesus looked over Jerusalem and they just wanted the problem to go away. And the problem was the Romans. And he cries over Jerusalem, Matthew 23, 37, and says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And or but you were not willing." Is that they wanted to do everything, but they didn't want to come to Jesus. And we need to come to Jesus. Every single one of us needs to come to Jesus. Isaiah prophesies about the healing power of Jesus. So think about the pain in our world. There's a lot of pain, and it could get worse. We got to realize that this racism issue is probably going to grow. And it's probably going to be more of an issue for our kids unless something changes. But the trajectory. And we're not in the debate. We're not. We're just selling Jesus. We don't actually care, actually. We just like, Jesus is the answer. And we need to teach our kids about that, that they don't get sucked up in the whole justice movement and retribution. Goodness, how far do we want to go back? Isaiah 53, 4 to 5. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So, in my own life, I, as you know, I picked up, flack at school for being darker than everyone else. And in those days, white school, white parties, white beaches. It was probably a miracle I didn't get arrested sometimes. That would have been, would have added to my affliction. But I had to do something with it, and I didn't have a good relationship with my father at the time. I've got a very good relationship with my dad now. But at that time, I didn't. And what do you do? What do you do as a kid that's feeling rejected, that's feeling out of it, that's feeling alone, and you don't have a connection with your father, a strong connection with your father? What do you do with your self-worth? I'll tell you what you do. You start to hide behind a mask, whatever the mask is. So whatever I chose, I could have chosen anything for a sense of identity. So I was a surfer. So it was very important, the whole surfing image to me. And I advanced in the whole surfing ladder and all the rest. But it was still a mask. And then one day I was invited to a meeting where I met Jesus. And I remember the acceptance that I felt when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. At the front, it was a cultic expose. Some of you guys have heard my testimony. Andrew and I went to the occult, and there was a ex-high priest of the Satanic Church sharing from the front. His name was Neville Goldman from PE. And when he gave the altar call, I responded to the altar call. And I didn't plan to respond to the altar call when I went to the meeting. I only kind of went to the meeting because Andrew just got saved, and I was kind of feeling a bit of loyalty towards Andrew. And then there were other cool surfer guys there as well. But when Neville shared about Jesus, and I knew that Jesus is the truth, and God called me, and I came to the front. And I just felt the power of God on me, but I also felt the love of God in me and the acceptance of God in me. All I know was that God healed me. And I walked out loved. I walked out of that meeting loved. Like, I don't need anything in the world. I am loved. And the problem is we chase after many, many things for love and acceptance. And the world hides behind so many masks. Ecclesiastes 1:14, King Solomon writing, says, "I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." And one of my heroes, because I go back to the 80s, yeah? I was born in the 70s, early 70s, I was born in 71. I'm 50 this year. Thanks, man. But there was a guy called Joey Baran. Now, you probably haven't heard of him, so my namesake. And he was a young surfer that all of his life, he wanted to be a surfing champion. And in December of 1984, he won the greatest competition, surfing competition at that time, the Pipeline Masters in Hawaii, in huge surf. And he's a Christian today. He's actually a pastor today, but at that stage, he was off and on with the Lord, I think. And they gave him this big trophy, and the crowd was screaming, "Whoa, Joey, you legend!" And all of his life, you know, everything he dreamed, this would make me happy. This was the thing that would make me feel loved, accepted. This was the moment. And the whole crowd's there. And suddenly, sunny day, not a bad day, suddenly this storm comes in and just cleans up the contest site. Like rain and wind, and kind of ruins Joey's moment. And suddenly, like within minutes, He goes from this great, adoring, cheering crowd till eventually everyone bails except for him because it's his moment. Like, he's not going to leave. And he's standing there in the rain with this trophy and this revelation, which he says from his story, the sentence comes to him. All is vain, all is insecure without Jesus. It meant nothing, and it meant nothing to anyone else. He's just forgotten. And everyone went over with their lives, and that was it. It meant nothing. Psalm 2, 1 to 2 says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Psalm 2, 10 to 12, the last two lines in the psalm says, now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. God really wants us to be free from masks, and he wants the world to be free from masks. But that's not going to happen until we bow every single knee of those that will to Jesus and to his lordship. There is nothing like the love of the Father. He fully embraces you as his child, and that is where your self-worth comes from. When God looks at you, he sees a son, Jesus. And that is why we don't have to hide anymore. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love drives out all fear. And that is what happened, is when I got saved, his perfect love in that moment as Neville was praying drove out all fear in me, all security, insecurity in me. And suddenly I was secure and loved. And I don't care if whatever anyone thinks about me anymore, if I'm good looking or not, or acceptable or not. Because all that matters is what I count to him. And it really actually works. I'm not selling something that, I'll tell you what, it works. It works. And we see in Ephesians 1, 5 to 7, and what did you quote from this one, Jacques, earlier? Was it this way? We found the scripture independently, so it must be Jesus. And we actually, how's this for cool? He shared about this revelation he had on two words, great pleasure. And there it is there, I highlighted, great pleasure, in my notes. He had no idea. God decided in advance, this is the NLT, which actually puts it a little bit different to maybe how you usually read it. I might have put in four. Just see if four's in there as well. Try 4 to 7. Sorry, Janine. Yeah. Long ago, and you heard Jacques talking about long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan. So he chose us to be in Christ. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us. So we've been adopted as his children into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So we adopted into his family. I shared about, I didn't have that strong relationship with my earthly father. That didn't give me any security. Now, I've got God as a dad, and that's enough security for me. And that's the security that we, each one of us, get. We're adopted into his family. And today is the day that we commemorate the mechanism for that to happen. The cross was the mechanism by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. He said it was so much pleasure bringing me into his kingdom on that day as Neville prayed. Joey, welcome. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us. Glorious grace is poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom, that we're free. I'm free. Joey's free. Thank you. I'm free from that mask. I'm free from those bonds. I'm truly free. And here is a picture of what we're like. So I know you guys have often heard dog stories from me. I was a dog handler in army, so I often have dog analogies. And my wife particularly loves dogs. Dogs are like a kryptonite. You know, Superman's got kryptonite that weakens him. So he just like goes weak. Donna gets weak around certain dogs. So we're walking and she'll see a certain dog, Pomeranian, and she will grow weak on her knees. And we had a Pomeranian in Bali when we lived in Bali. But this is what we are like. We're talking about this redemption story. Now, just imagine for a moment that you're a dog, okay? We are like the lost dog. This is what happened to us through Ephesians 1, 5 to 7, okay? The adoption, okay? So process the story in light of that scripture. We are like the lost dog at the pound. We will be put down soon, yeah? Everyone knows what put down is. Because there's more dogs coming in, they need to find space. I mean, it's just, there's not like endless kennel. We are about to be put down soon because actually we are not very attractive. We've got fur missing, some teeth missing. We're skinny, a bit of mange. Our toenails are long and uncut. Have you seen the dogs that have got long toenails when they walk on tiles? It's like a T-Rex. Our toenails are long and uncut. They kind of make a noise when you walk on tiles. Nobody wants us. And then God walks into the pound and he sees you. He pays the purchase price to the harsh, uncaring owner at the pound, and he takes you home. At home, he bathes you, and he washes you, he feeds you, he brushes your fur, he takes you for walks, and one day, the previous pound owner sees you in the street, walking with your new owner. And he cannot believe it's the same dog. In fact, he is so jealous, he wishes he had never let you go. And Psalm 23:5 captures this truth. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I hope you capture the specialness of what God has done for you. Just capture it, the joy of what he's done for you. And it's particularly more helpful to capture it when you realize what you were before. Because some of us actually think that we were lovable before Christ, but actually there's not much in us to love. And here's the clincher, and I know everyone wants to sit on Psalm 139, that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And that is true. But we are only fearfully and wonderfully made because of him, not because of us. And we are beautiful, not because we're actually beautiful. We are beautiful only because we are beautiful to him. And we are only, and here's the clincher, and this is the part that doesn't get preached that much. We are only beautiful in him, in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, we're ugly. But in Jesus, we're beautiful because he sees his son. And this is a great truth because we need to realize that there is no worth outside of Jesus. That the Bible actually says in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It is only good to be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Matthew 25:21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. That is those that are in Jesus. Matthew 25:29-30, a few verses later, contrasts. Or to everyone who has, will more be given. Those that have Jesus, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, which is our lives, if we have not Jesus. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a beautiful thing to find his love. To find how much he actually loves us. And I hope that picture of that dog captures what he actually did. Because you know what? Now you are a beautiful thing, but before you weren't. Now you are that beautiful dog walking along with your tail up, toenails are clipped and fur is shiny and everyone wants that dog. But Jesus did that for you. And that should be, for those of us that serve him, should be enough to praise him on this Easter day and say, Easter means so much more for me. Easter means that horrible dog in the kennel that was about to be put down is out there with his tail up that everyone's admiring. And maybe if you can bow your heads for a moment and just close your eyes where you are. And just maybe give an opportunity for those that may, on this Easter day, never receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That you feel still like you're that dog in the kennel, waiting for the owner that never comes. And you know that you're unkempt. You know that the place that you're in is dirty, but you're longing for the Savior. And that's what Easter is all about. That John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And that is God's promise to you. But you need to receive his Son for yourself. Have that experience that I had. So if God is calling you today, if this is the day that you need to give your life to him, that he's actually knocking on that cage and you're inside and you need to respond and you need to open that door to him. So if that's you today, you're that little dog and he's that master waiting to draw you in and he just wants to take you home and clean you and feed you and brush your fur and bring you back to life and love over you. Won't you respond to him today? And you can do that before us. The Bible says that Jesus says, he who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father on that great and terrible day. So you may feel that I don't want to make any public acknowledgement, but the Lord Jesus actually encourages you to do that. Most of us here have done that. So if that's you, I just encourage you, if God is calling you today, and that you know today, I want to answer the call of Jesus, won't you answer that call by just quickly putting up your hand just where you are, and we will pray that God would just meet with you just where you're at. Is anyone in this meeting today, you know, you need to say yes to Jesus today? For any that know that you may have been away from Him, I give that opportunity to you, that you know you need to come back to Him today, this weekend. If you know He's calling right now, just quickly put your hand up and we'll pray with you. Is there anyone in this meeting? It's okay with Jacques. I'll get the worship team to come up. Maybe you can just stand where you are. Thank you for listening today. It's been great. It's actually been a pretty pleasant time with Maskland. As we finish the service and we, one last time, just praise Him and I'll give the meeting over to Mally. Just remember what He's done for you. And let your prayer that I prayed earlier arrest my soul. Arrest my soul that I can, Jesus, that I can just be wrapped by you again. Come, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. So offer your body to Him, even as we go into this worship rite. Offer it. There's no reason why you shouldn't walk out of this meeting full of His fire. But you can't do it. Only He can. So give yourself and say, Jesus, fill me with your fire. Stir your passion in me. In Jesus' name. Let us worship.